Hey guys, it's Adley Stump, and I am so excited to be here hanging out with my hero, Donald Jenkins, on Nashville Hits Collecting Dust.
Hey, let's get started. Hey, it's Nashville Hits Collecting Dust. Thanks for tuning in. I got me, obviously, in the house, Donald, and as normal over there, per usual, super sick Kevin McCarty. Hey, buddy.
I am here, back and better than ever.
Kind of running around the room.
He was. Well, he was running my vlog for me. Good
that's
man.
That's right. Check good it man. Out. Somethingsomething.com.
YouTube. Once a week.
Yeah. Which, let's, our guest now is Adley Stump. Hi.
Hi, honey.
How are you?
I'm so good. I'm excited to be here.
You know, we don't need to be official or have mics on us to have a great time, but I feel like nobody would really believe how well we get along unless we have mics on us.
So. I know. This is proof. This is social proof to the rest of the world.
Right, and the rest of the world needs to know.
We are legitimate friends.
That's right. And there's a reason for that. For one, you're an awesome person, have a great story, and I love to tell great stories. So what I do is find really good people that have really good talent and then tell about them doing really good things.
Well, you are sweet. And so we need people like you. You know, everybody needs a platform, especially if you do have a story to tell.
Yeah,
I'm,
for sure.
I'm happy to be here.
Awesome. Well, all right, let's do that then, because I've known you for, carry the one, 8 days.
8 whole days. And they have been so good.
Which, by the way, you don't have to carry a one to come to eight. But
I did, though. That's how I did algebra.
Subtracting.
Fingers. All right. No, yeah, but it seems like I've known you for years already. We had mutual friends that we met out on the...
day after St. Patrick's Day.
Right, on the famous Demumbrian Street. Been there a few times.
Just a couple. Right. I think we've been like 4 times since we met.
Oh, gosh.
We even laugh the same.
People have so this picture of who I am and my lifestyle. I swear I'm not that crazy, but maybe I am. So anyway.
I promise you he is.
I know. God, I met through one of my best friends for years, Shiva.
Shiva.
Which y'all are new friends too. But I know if y'all get along that we're getting along. And so as soon as she made the connection, I can't tell the world exactly how we were introduced because that's, it just doesn't seem.
Leave that to the imagination.
Yeah, right. Because you never know how Shiva's going to introduce us. That's the
yes.
As far as like who her and I, she's just one of my best friends, known her for 10 years. So we had a great time. But we clicked immediately. And then what Shiva did say was, you two need to know each other. And I didn't know why. But she just kind of sat back and she goes, Donald, tell her what you do.
And your response was, which part?
Wait.
And then she did the same to me. I was like, well, which part?
Right. And then, Adley, tell Donald what you do.
But it's the same thing. When you meet people that you can tell, really, and I think everybody would say that this is true. When you meet people kind of cut from the same cloth, you can usually tell within the first 30 seconds how this is going to go, right? You get that initial vibe. And like within the first 5 minutes of Shiva and I just having a discussion, we were finishing each other's sentences about mindset, about positivity, about success, entrepreneurship, what it takes.
Right.
But that's the cool part about Nashville is everybody here has that common denominator of you're here for a passion, whether it's music or medicine, something brought you here. And so this group of like young professionals has been really cool. And so you have a lot in common naturally with people, but if you can get in the same game with the mindset, I feel like that's where true friendship and you can support each other and each other's dreams and eventually do podcasts together.
Right? Hey, I've always said, and I mean, Nashville's a dreamer city. I really feel like that's what the attraction is. People keep saying, Nashville's blowing up. It may be for a particular industry or a TV show, whatever you want to do, but the reality is when people come to visit, they feel it.
You feel it, absolutely.
You legitimately feel, and you don't really know what it is, but it's people come here because they have a passion, they have a dream, and they're the small percentage, honestly, of the world who has decided to take the step to do it. Right?
And so when people do that, the cool part about Nashville and the way you feel it is everybody's like, cool, good for you. I'm going to support you, right?
Right.
It's really not this.
I mean, because we all know what it's like.
Because the industry's cutthroat.
Right.
But everybody's generally, I would say, really supportive of each other because you know that everybody's put themselves out there and is vulnerable to some degree.
Right. And we know what it's like to show up and kind of have this deer in the headlights look. Right?
Yeah.
So, Now, Kevin, I will say that like within the first 4 days of Adley and I knowing each other, she texted me a couple times and was like, you really need to meet this guy. And I'm like, how many guys are you trying to set me up with?
What vibe am I putting off here?
I mean, yeah, I need to reevaluate some things because, but no, it really doesn't matter whether it's guy or girl because mm-hmm. I mean, the acquaintance of like, if you're here,
yeah,
come on.
Come on.
I can't tell you how many people that they, and the thing is once you know, I don't know, Kevin, do you think there's a number? But if you know a good 5-10 people, then you probably have a 1 degree of influence of most people in Nashville.
Absolutely.
Is that right?
I mean, yeah. It's you've been here forever.
15 years.
15 years. Yeah. And you've known her 8 days and you've been here a while.
Mm-hmm, five. Right? Five. Years.
And so between the two of you, I think like...
Like how many mutual friends do we
exactly.
have?
Exactly.
My God.
But I think that's something that me moving here a couple of years ago, like I noticed everybody wants to do that, mm-hmm. which I live in a couple other cities where they're like, no, we have my group of friends and my people
very
I hang
clickish.
Out with. Like, yeah. Don't... Who do you think you are, yeah. man? Just this is our town. Like, that's the complete opposite of here in Nashville,
yeah.
which is
yeah.
amazing.
It's yeah, fun. It is. Hey, while we're in a... Break. Will you turn that on and hand it to me?
Oh, yeah.
I just want to keep it running, especially as we get into some meat, so I can make the vlog. Hello.
It was like not on the whole time. And what do you mean we're not on? We've been on.
We are on. I meant like
I'm on all the time.
I'm on all the time. I have to get down here like this. Make the vlog.
Is that working for
all
you?
All the socials happening.
This is all, I know. That's the thing about being a content creator is you just have to, you have to have everything running you, at the same time.
Are you saying?
I got it.
I mean, is that chair not comfortable? That was awesome.
Kidding. We're back. Commercial break is over.
Did anybody say, hey, we need to go to commercial, or did you just decide?
I think I made my own commercial right there.
She realized. She was like, it's a podcast. We can edit this, right? And then right. we're like, we're not going
to
edit
No, we don't
that.
Edit anything.
Every listener at 4 minutes in is going to be like, what the
heck was she doing? But you really don't edit them?
Maybe. That's kind of weird. That-
oh, then I'm really, really sorry. This is why you need a video podcast.
I know.
Because no one's going to know what the last 30 seconds
are. You know, maybe we do have some video. So either way.
Oh, I got it for sure.
Yeah. Well, hey, can we talk about you, Adley, please? Like, I know you like to talk.
Yeah.
About yourself.
I mean, come on now.
I'm just kidding.
Give me a stage and a microphone.
Yes, that's all I need. Well, you have some great stuff going on musically, in a bunch of areas, right? And I don't yeah. think I can do it justice, honestly. I know you're talented as an artist and you have a story there, but you start first and then I'll add to it. But like, tell us your story. I know you moved here 5 years ago, right?
Yeah. I don't know. You don't know the story, which is actually, it's true that things happen. The best things that have ever happened to me in life are things that came out of complete left field. I was a senior in college and I was broke as crap. I couldn't even afford my ROM. And I was like, I want to go on Jeopardy and I'm going to win some money. So I sat down, I Googled how to be on Jeopardy. A list of reality shows pulled up. I missed the deadline for Jeopardy. I'm sitting with my sorority sisters. We see a show called The Voice. We're like, this would be funny. Like,
yeah.
Ad, you should do this. Because, I mean, I was a shower singer like the rest of us, but I was a cheerleader. And so, I mean, that was my thing. It was like choreography. But if I got enough Diet Millers in me on a Wednesday,
that was awesome.
I would do karaoke. So long story short, jumped in the car after an intramural game on Friday and drove to Nashville, like through the night, chugging energy drinks, clearly gave a crap,
right?
About the quality of my voice. Auditioned the next morning, essentially just kind of kept going through that process. Ended up on Team Blake, and I was like, oh, God, I think you got the wrong girl. I have no idea what I'm doing, but ended up signing my first deal, moved me to Nashville.
All right, hold on.
I was trying to condense the story, but
there's just
fire away.
It was just so nonchalant, right? It's like, I just, you know, I went.
I picked up a coffee.
Yeah, I picked up a microphone.
I
cleared my voice, and then I just belted. What did you sing? Like how
I sang? Okay, I sang Christina Aguilera's "Show Me How You Burlesque."
Good
that
gosh.
Acapella intro into Johnny Cash, "Ring of Fire," and that's honestly the voice is casting, right? It's television casting. How many
sure.
country people? How many white people? Black people? What's the story? How many curly blondes? All of this, and when you're in that casting process and everybody's singing Lady Gaga Poker Face, They want somebody that's just like, where's the artist? Everybody's a good karaoke singer, but what is something different? What's your story?
Right.
My story perked their ears up a little bit because they're like, wait, what the heck? You haven't wanted to do this since you were two?
Yeah.
You know, this isn't the biggest dream of all time. And I had the most ridiculous hairdo probably in the world. I look like a giant sheepdog, like George Washington hair going on. Don't go back and watch my blind audition.
Hey, Kevin, could you be Googling?
See, when you say don't do something that's easily accessible on the internet, I think it's just going to be
it'll happen.
Only a matter of time.
Yeah. But that was essentially my first time on a real stage. But I was in journalism and marketing, and so I kind of knew how to play to the camera, and I knew where all the producers were leading me to answer certain questions and give them sound bites and kind of put my story in there. And it was just fun, right? And so I had a decent voice. I like to think I've grown a lot in the last 5 years, but it was like passable.
I have a hard time saying that you have a decent voice if you sing anything by Christina Aguilera.
I think it was more like, wow, this girl has guts. Like to sing. And it was just a different rendition. Obviously, it just perked their ears up. And then so going through the casting process continued to just hold my own. And I think they were just drinking the whole time because I just like slid in there. And I made it just like, you know, a few rounds and then I was out. But I just couldn't even believe I even got that far. Like, I wouldn't have picked me.
Come on.
I wouldn't have, though. If we're being totally honest, I wouldn't have. But obviously, I'm super grateful for the experience. And
hey, I'm curious. Just in a somewhat of a technique standpoint of trying to deliver something, I've noticed this, obviously not in music. For one, I'm not a good karaoke. You're like, everybody's a good karaoke. I'm not. But my go-to song is Sweet Home Alabama. So there you go. But, you know, when I was in just strictly sales and business, there's something to be said about not having to make a sale to make a sale.
Yes. It's right. Like taking the check off the table. Like, you can take it or leave it.
Right. Like,
then they're scared to miss out on something great.
And the thing is, it's not like I would say anything different or do anything different when I really needed to make a sale. I was saying the same thing. But it was unbelievable how when I would walk into any presentation or whatever and go, whatever, take it, leave it, whatever, I'm going to say the same thing. And I didn't say that. It was just almost like maybe my, I don't know.
It's an attitude. It's those nonverbals.
Yeah.
You know?
And I guess, you know, in a lot of ways, not that you didn't care if you won or lost. I'm sure you cared. But it was just, it wasn't like, oh, this is all coming down to this moment, right?
For my life. And,
right.
Yeah.
And you were able to.
Yeah. Which I felt really, actually, that's my biggest motivator. And what it all comes down to for me is I had friends who wanted to sing since they were two. They would have given their left leg for that opportunity. So when I got that opportunity, there was actually a decent amount of guilt there. Like, okay, I will earn everything else. And if I don't get where I'm going, it's my fault because I was just giving an amazing platform. So everything is on me from here on out. And so every day, if I don't bust my butt to the ground working, I feel massive conviction, you know, and if I don't become who I want to become, that's on me. And I'd never want to be able to say I didn't work hard enough.
Right.
You know,
that's awesome. If you could, we're just going to stretch a little bit. If you'll just like turn to your back right here and look at the screen.
Oh, there it is.
Yes.
I said George Washington here. Exhibit A, exhibit drunken face.
Wow. Like,
oh my gosh. Don't look like that anymore.
That's awesome. That's so good right there. That's good hair.
No, this is my worst nightmare. Look at this. This is my worst nightmare right here.
Well,
who let me do this?
No, I mean, this is not your normal average podcast. We're very real here. This is who you are. That's awesome.
This is not who I am. It's not. Take it back right now. But yeah, I mean, those are my first two times really singing on like a stage that wasn't Coney Islander in the back alley in Stillwater, Oklahoma.
Oh,
you know, and I just was a cheerleader. So just naturally I had this voice that projected, but had zero control over it. And so you just kind of learn by doing.
All right. So what happens then? You know, you go Team Blake and you're like, yeah, that's it. Now what?
So I was living in Nashville and then, you know, at first I did what everybody does. Those first 2 years, you sit in a writing room and you write and you write and you write. And my lawyer was like, all right, here's the process. You're going to get, you know, you're going to work your butt off for a couple of years and then maybe you'll get that first publishing deal and it won't be very good. You'll still have to work some other side job, but, you know, just keep working and you'll get that second one. And I said, so you're telling me that my entire life is predicated on somebody else giving me permission to be successful? I have to wait for a suit behind a desk. Hopefully he had Cheerios instead of oatmeal that morning and he's in a good mood and he likes my song or doesn't like my song. And it's all subjective and my happiness is not up to me at all. Mm. I mean, your happiness is always up to you, but my trajectory in business and in life and the permission to be successful. And that didn't sit very well with me.
Right. That's hard to swallow sometimes.
It is hard to swallow. And so, especially when the music industry is in this big influx of information and there's really no formula anymore. I said, okay, I'm going to take this decent handful of mediocre songs and it's going to be my job to get them out there and see if they click with anybody. And so I started leveraging corporate relationships and putting together just things that were win-wins that I felt. And that's always been able, fortunately, to pay the bills and keep me in the game. And I think it all just comes down to, you know, what is your unique selling point as an artist? There's a million other green-eyed, blonde-haired country singers running around this town. What do I have that's proprietary at all?
Hair like that.
I can put it back up if we want to.
Hair that does something different every single day.
Yes, I love it. You did something right. I want to mention, you're going out on tour in April, right?
Yes, we are. And so this year is actually a cool full circle story that I'm going out on some stadium shows with Blake. And it's going to be really awesome, cool. I'm excited. We did our first round of stadiums last year, opening for Zac Brown and Tim McGraw. I mean, stadiums, they're bigger than like arenas. Some of these are like 75,000 seaters.
I mean, is there a way to describe what it's like to play for a stadium?
It's one of, like, you would think it would be like the most nerve-wracking part, but I've had just an incredible calm. Every time. In that battle round, there was an incredible calm. I was blacked out during the blind audition. I don't even remember it. The adrenaline and the nerves.
Right.
But there's something just that God gives you this peace right before you walk out that it's like, I put you here. Don't mess it up. Like,
that's awesome.
Or at least that's what I felt. And knock on wood and massive prayers that it's the same starting in April.
Can I come to a show?
Yeah.
I want to be
front
row.
You want to be front row?
So
I put your name down, boo.
So we made like eye contact and I'm like,
this is cool.
That is cool.
That's the cool thing. And that's in the whole thing we were talking about earlier about just when you chase and you chase and you chase and like people are like, when are you going to be successful? What is that definition to you?
Yeah.
For me, it's never been this. I mean, you always dream of the acceptance speech in front of your peers and accepting awards and things like that. But that, there's no real milestone like that for me because success isn't this dangling carrot that's so far out in the distance. For me, it's quality of life. It's every day.
Yeah.
Do we get to do this
right
and live the life of our dreams every single day? That's success to me, is being able to stay in the game and do it on your own terms. And we've had opportunities to do certain deals that would make things not on my own terms. And when the time came, it wasn't attractive to me. And it may be down the line, but as it is in business and life, everything is leverage.
Yeah.
And so that's still the conversation, is building assets and building leverage so we can continue to do things our way. And so I never, hopefully, end up in a position of a suit behind a desk or anybody else giving me permission to live the life of my dreams.
Yeah, I've seen some of the happiest, I think most successful people, and what they all have in common is, and I've been in both places, by the way, where I had to get up or used to get up and push myself to work.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, you get up and you're like, I got to just go to work.
Yeah. The motivation's not there.
Yeah. And then regardless of what it is, and actually it may be a suit and a desk, it's really up, you know, to whatever it is for you. But, something's pulling me out of bed.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, I can't wait to get up to do.
Yes. Yes.
And that for me is my definition of success and happiness.
Amen.
I don't want to sleep in late. I got things to do.
Yeah. Right? Life to live.
Right.
And, impact to make and
I'm talking about on a Sunday night. Have you ever heard of the Sunday Scaries?
No.
It's actually
the children's book.
No.
I'm just kidding.
Have you heard
of that? I'm just kidding.
Is that what your mom read to you as a child?
Yeah, it's like, my mom would be like, we're reading the Sunday Scaries. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, well, no, believe it or not, it's kind of a sad term, but I think it's actually a very well-known common term, but it's like a lot of people have what they call the Sunday Scaries, which is on Sunday afternoon or night, it's like this overwhelming, anxious anxiety because Monday's coming, you know? And I'm like, I never want to be there. You know, I never want to have to go, I dread Monday so bad.
No.
I literally have an overwhelming anxiety. And, you know, it's not right or wrong if you are there now. I'm just saying sometimes, you know, defining success is really the best thing that I can tell somebody. What is success to you? Not what everybody else tells you success is, because a lot of these people make really good money. I mean, that, does that make sense? It has nothing to do on whether they are doing well financially.
Right.
This is actually something that, though, they're just not fulfilled in doing on Monday or Tuesday, or maybe they don't, they haven't found the purpose, right?
Right. Yeah.
And I think that's a lot of what you were saying is,
mm-hmm.
You know,
what makes you feel like your existence here mattered? What makes you feel like you want to get up and jump out of bed every morning?
Got to have a purpose and mm-hmm. be working towards something.
Yeah, absolutely. And even that's if you have a 9-to-5 that you love or even kind of like, what is it after hours? Like baking cupcakes. What is it that you love to do that you'll be able to?
I love eating cupcakes.
Yeah, if you're a good cupcake maker, come on over here.
And I don't even care if it has gluten. I'll eat gluten at all. But anyway.
He prefers it.
I prefer the gluten.
Yeah.
So, gosh, besides music, you got so much other stuff going on, like this camera in my face right now. What else are you doing?
Don and I are both holding our cameras, if you guys could see this. And if you watch my vlog or his, you will see it.
You'll see all of it.
You will. But it goes back to what am I doing that's any different than just singing? But a few months ago, I got hired by an Instagram network to make these funny, like, viral-esque type videos, just like these relatable type things. And I loved it. And I saw an immediate growth in followers when I started offering value, making people laugh, not making anything about me and switching up the music narrative, right? Buy my music. Here's a new song I'm doing. Here's this, about me. No one cares. Like, you may have a new song out, a new album, but I never wanted to be that girl that's like, I got a new song out, buy my album, tell all your friends. Like, go support me. But I think it's natural human behavior when you offer value and you document what you're doing just along the way and create a story that people want to be a part of, whatever that looks like. Doesn't matter if you're, you know, a mom and you're just showing what your kids are doing, or like, what is it that people, this world, like, everybody has this lens, but how do you make people smile? How do you make them feel understood, make them feel related? And that's a big part of what music does. But video is such a part of our world now.
See?
That just inviting people into the daily life. And what does this look like? How does it feel? How does it taste? And so I kept making those videos, and people really, really liked it. And so now when I talk about, hey, we're going on tour, we're going to be opening for Blake, or we've got a new single out, the broad stroke of marketing has been there to get the followers, to now when I've been jabbing with little gives, when I ask for something and I take that right hook, they usually respond pretty well. And so then our single does really well on the charts.
Yeah.
Then the videos, you know, hit 250,000 views a lot faster, or things like that. But when I do the broad strokes of funny videos with my pig and my chickens, people just really seem to like it. And fight the machine and what's working for you.
I'm getting to the ducks, by the way.
Most people, if they make any type of money, you know, they go spend it on like the cars or the clothes. I obviously don't do that part. I buy ducks.
That's right. And I just heard about the pig that I have questions, but I want to reiterate what you just said, that I think it's very profound, but it's very simple, but it's very profound. And it's natural that when we wake up, the first focus goes to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always, the most stressed I've been in life is when, if I did a self audit of like the last 5 thoughts that went through my head, mm-hmm. they all started with the letter I.
Yeah.
And then it hits me. As soon as you take the focus off yourself and put it on somebody else,
mm-hmm.
you can breathe easier.
Yeah.
It sounds simple, but it's so true. And I will tell you from experience, it is not a natural thought to wake up mm-hmm. and focus on something beside yourself. Like, that has to be a conscious decision.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you right now that you just hit the nail on the head, that if I take the focus off myself and just really try to focus on how can I help someone else today?
Mm-hmm.
How can I relate to someone else today? I mean, you're talking about documenting, and I think that's huge. A lot of people do videos and marketing to market, once again, themselves.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that. There's a place for that, right? But I've heard that term go, no, I want to get up and document. Not that I do everything right, mm-hmm. but that I'm real.
Yeah.
And that I deal with this, and this is how I deal with it. And sometimes I do really well, and sometimes I don't. Do you?
Yeah. No.
And now all of a sudden, you are saying, hey, how can I help you by just showing that my life is not this highlight reel at the same time.
Yes.
It's actually really funny, right?
Yeah.
You know, believe it or not. And if you can't laugh at yourself,
who can you laugh at?
Right. Exactly.
And I think people connected that because you're real. You know, you're not mm-hmm. selling them anything. I've always said that people love to buy. People hate to be sold.
Amen.
You know?
And I love that. But so, if you're good to people, if you take that, just like you said, take the focus off of yourself and how can I solve a problem for somebody else? Or how can I make them feel better about what's going on? Or, you know, just make them laugh.
Yeah.
That feels better than anything I could actually do for myself. And, you know, in the long game, it ends up helping me too. But right. look at anybody that is probably a mentor from afar, mm-hmm. any guru or anything like that, anybody that I look up to, why do I look up to them? And why do I follow everything that they do? Because they are helpful for me.
Yeah. You trust them.
Yeah.
It's a huge thing. And it's one thing that's hard to learn, especially if you like never meet somebody. I always felt mm-hmm. like the natural gift, I think, for people like you and I, is that when we meet face to face, we can connect pretty easily, right?
Yeah.
How do you do that to somebody that you may never actually meet, like your fans, or, you know, and build a trust and a bond, right?
Yes. Yeah.
And, but it's true. I think, if you really just are real, mm-hmm. and just document, that word just keeps sticking out. Just document. You're not
just document.
Trying to be anybody that you're not. And I learned that, I think, from you. You hit that word on document. I've heard it before, but it's kind of stuck with me now that you said that. I'm like, that's what I got to just remember, is that I'm not marketing myself. I'm just documenting.
No, it's just documenting. You know, my mom, like even this, like my mom said, Dad, you really need to journal everything that's happening like in your life or you're going to forget it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, I'll pick up a camera. And I'll start vlogging, and these are going to be my weekly like journal entries. But you also hit the nail on the head that it's not perfect. You know, every bit is learning, and everything gets better. If you look back at my early songs, early performances, early videos, they're terrible. But if I would have just been like said, oh, I'm terrible at this, then I wouldn't have gotten any better. And now it wouldn't have been one of the biggest catalysts of my careers. You know?
If that fear of it, you not being perfect before you did it, you may have never done it.
Amen.
Right. So I had somebody.
Are you a big fan of Gary Vee?
Hell yeah.
Yeah. We talk a lot about him. I think it's just a lot of that stuff we totally understand. But I think in music, when we have a lot of people sitting here, we haven't seen a lot of insight into the process of things. Like people write books and it's like how I got to be this successful or what I've done, but you've never seen it. Right. And now mm-hmm. we're in this new era almost of the people like yourself and Donald and Gary that are documenting everything. And they're saying, look, like I do wrong things, but like I'm showing you how I'm getting to these places and the progress that I'm making. But like, I'm not saying like, here's the final product and just go do it this way. I'm actually showing you how to do it on a daily basis, mm-hmm. all day, every day kind of thing. And so that's just real to people so that, oftentimes musicians go, you know what I've loved is the process of starting in a garage and then now we're here and then you keep climbing and going. People latch onto that and they say, now I can see myself in your shoes.
Yeah.
And now that's motivating to me to be like, God, they're doing it. Why don't I do it? Versus go out and, you know, you can play in front of 70,000 people, go do it. And you're like, do what?
Right. What do I do? What does that step look like? And it's not a template. It's, you know, I could never do what anybody else, I couldn't try to replicate what Miranda did, try to replicate what anybody that, you know, you look up to did. You just have to find what it is about you that you have to offer again, that nobody else does. Is it your personality? Is it like, I would never be like, Donald, oh my God, you got to come see this girl. She's like a little bit of good, like at everything. I'd be like, no, this girl sings her butt off, or she plays guitar like a maniac, or she's got a great live show, or she's so funny.
Right.
Or what is it that God's given you that you can just go all chips in there, you know? And don't, maybe you're not playing guitar 20 hours a week and vocal lessons 15 hours a week and this and just doing, like trying to be good at everything, but you don't find superstar qualities that way.
No, and you don't get there without messing up. I've heard two things, that some of the best leaders are the ones that are actually willing to fail in front of the people that they're leading. And most people don't think that. Like in order for me to be a great leader, I have to be perfect to show everybody. And that's actually not the case. It's your willingness to go, I'm going to lead. And by the way, if I fail, you're going to see it.
Yeah.
And that's okay. Right. But I also had a great, John Acuff, I think said this, but I can't remember who told me, but when I was starting originally 4 or 5 years in my first Making It Happen blog, he said, if you're not embarrassed in 3 months by what you do today, then you waited too late.
I love that.
So that was permission. and even knowing going into it that what I think is really good right now,
yeah,
in 3 months, I'm going to be like, I can't believe I said that. But yeah, it's okay.
That shows growth.
Yeah.
That shows.
Absolutely.
Do you ever like wake up in the morning and you're like, oh my gosh, like, what am I doing? I feel like I'm not going anywhere. I'm spinning my wheels. And then you just make yourself look at, where was I 6 months ago?
How far you've
gone. Like yeah, even 4 months ago, 2 months ago. And you're yeah, like, okay, it kind of takes getting out of your head a little bit in that perspective to be like, okay, we are going somewhere. Even when you feel like you're crawling and you feel like you're stuck, if you're pursuing something, your only competition is yourself, just trying to be better than who you were last week, yesterday, and yeah, 6 months ago. And if you can have that as your metric, I think you're going to be all right.
That's good stuff. And also stuff that you need to hear a lot from someone else. You know, mm-hmm, I've always said too, you really learn if there's a step that you can take when you hear stuff like this and apply it in your own life. I don't know if you really learn it until you teach it to someone else.
I agree.
And a lot of times you feel like, well, who am I to teach somebody else? But as much as you feel like, oh, this is me trying to go give something back, it really is affirming mm-hmm, you and what you know to be right by teaching someone else.
Yeah. And I'll say like, you know, things that I believe artists should do whenever they ask for advice. And then I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm not even doing it. Like it reminds you to, right? Oh my gosh, I know I should be doing this, but I'm not even taking my own advice.
That's right.
You know, it's just that good little reminder.
Yeah. I have a lot of my own medicine I need to be swallowing. A lot.
I think we have a lot of good side comments, you know, conversations you and I have about fear and those type of things.
Yeah.
And we're just like, every so often you need just kind of that get back to neutral conversation and be like, okay, I get it.
Yeah, we need to document those conversations. We're up here giving all this advice and like 5 minutes before we hit record, me and Kevin are like, man, I don't know, man.
Yeah, yeah. You know, absolutely. Like,
but no, that's just, hey, that's reality. Mm-hmm. Well, I have three questions for you that I ask everybody.
I feel like I knew what questions you were going to ask because I've listened to the show before, obviously. And I feel like I already just like subconsciously answered them. So I might repeat or just have to dive a little deeper about my advice to people or what's been the biggest thing that I've focused on.
That's okay. You can repeat or I can just say, no, wrong answer. Make you say something else.
Say something else. Try
what's
again,
the
girl.
Best advice you've ever gotten? Nah,
I should just have that taboo buzzer on the side. Everybody curses or anything.
That's funny. All right. Well, listen, I have to at least ask him because I ask every guest and then we'll compare you and judge you and all that good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
All right. You ready?
Yes.
So if you could have coffee with yourself, knowing what you know now, right when you first started pursuing music, which honestly, you have a different story of starting that whole music thing.
I know.
Right?
Yeah.
But that's cool. We want all the different perspectives. But even going, let's just say maybe from the show and going from there to Nashville, right?
Yeah.
Knowing what you know now, is there something that you would tell that Adley?
Yeah, I would say, you know, you can always say, here's where I'm going, here's what my goal is, and here's how I'm going to get there. But everything that is going to massively change your life or be a giant pivot for you is usually unforeseen. And if you're asking a bunch of other people to believe in you and support you, you have to believe in you and support you first. This business especially is full of so much self-doubt and I'm not as good as this person and I don't have this manager and I don't have all this. But if you don't change that perspective and that mindset, then you're never going to have that manager or that career or that voice or whatever. And you really have to, fake the self-confidence because until you really start to believe, until you really start to believe it and just love yourself and work on the parts that you want to get better at. But I would also tell people to not worry about trying to equalize their strengths and bring all your weaknesses and try to make them, you don't have to be good at everything.
Right.
You're not going to be good at everything. But focus again on what you have to offer that is unique and go all chips in there and don't think you're going to have all the answers.
Yeah. I was going to ask you follow up on that because it's great that you're like believing yourself. You don't have to be like everybody. And then I was going to say, all right, if we know that to be true,
mm-hmm,
now how, right. Mm-hmm. And you said, you know, fake it until you, I guess, is that mm-hmm, what you would, are there any other ways? Because there's a difference between saying, I believe in myself, and then actually believing in myself.
Right. I think you have to follow it up with action. You know, so if I believe that I'm going to be the best video maker, if I'm going to make the best videos, well, I don't really believe that my videos are crap right now. But if I keep doing them and keep doing them and keep doing them and I follow it up with action, then maybe someday I will be the best video creator. You remember what Matthew McConaughey said at the Oscars? That, like, who is your hero? What are you chasing? It's me in 5 years. And then in 5 years, he was like, yeah, it's not me at all. It's me in the next 5 years.
Yeah.
And then you're never going to chase what you have in your head for yourself. But it always gives you something to aspire to be.
Yeah, Frank Sinatra used to say, I played Frank Sinatra until I became Frank Sinatra. And that was one thing that I on my phone right now, this might be kind of cheesy, but people catch me sometimes. I set up automatic reminders every day.
Mm-hmm.
That tell me the things that I want to be.
Yeah.
And there's something to be said about, even when I was trying to figure out how in the world I was going to build a personal brand, a public speak, and this, that, and the other, I'm like, who am I? Right.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not this. But if I just switch that, instead of it being a question going, I am this.
Mm-hmm. You manifest it. You truly do. And you live out of that every day to where people look at you now and they're like, well, he's living it with conviction.
You know what else it is, though? You know what else it is? This is because this is a fear, too. See, what you're really scared of is that if you say that out loud, that somebody else is going to tell you that you're not.
Yes.
And you know what really helps is when you tell somebody and they go, oh, cool.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they answer in a way that is like, oh, yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
And you're like, in the back of your head, you're like, but they don't know I'm really not yet.
Yeah.
But the more times you hear people say, oh, that's cool, man, then in my mind I go, well, first of all, they didn't stab me because I said I was something that I'm not yet. But you just start to believe it when people are actually responding to you in a way that's like, hey, that's really good. And you're like, God, I just am.
And then your actions follow.
Yeah.
And then a couple years down the line, look at you. You know, it's incredible how that works. It's just the power of mind. It's the law of attraction. I'll warn you,
just like, because you've already said this, you'll get 5 years and you'll kind of be there and you still won't think you are. And then that's when you have to take a look back and go, look how far I've come.
Exactly.
Because you can always look how far you per se have to go.
Right.
But gosh, look how far you come.
Yeah.
Right? You're like, wow, how did I get here?
Yeah.
You know,
so heck of a lot better than never starting.
I always tell you, Donald, I always say, if you don't have critics, then you're not doing anything worth criticizing or big enough or in front of people that you want to be in front of. Like, if you don't have critics, then you're not doing anything.
You're not doing anything different.
Yeah.
You know, that's going to be a game changer and sets you apart from anybody else walking down the street.
Yeah. And once again, defining your own success, that doesn't have to be on a world platform. You know, honestly, your success and whatever you need and want to be can be just right there in your hometown, your own street, your own house, right?
Yeah.
I think we try to measure everything in success in our world.
Yeah.
And so if it's not a certain number of followers, it ain't successful, right?
Right. And
but,
that's a great point.
You know, I can be, or anybody can be successful with 50 followers if those 50 people are gaining something and that's your fulfillment.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, that's success.
Yeah.
Don't let anybody tell you it's not.
No,
right?
If you're a school teacher and you're teaching people how to become great men and women someday and have leadership skills and just be the best versions of themselves as little people, you're making an imprint. You're making a giant difference right there. That's, I would argue that's more success than more impact on a deeper level and a more important level than I ever hoped to have.
Well, great answer and follow up on the first question. Second one, I don't think you've hit on though. What about the best advice someone else has given you?
Twofold. Something that stuck with me for a long time is that your attitude is a choice. And that I live by that every single day. It's perspective. And I see a lot of people that have been pretty close to me in life that just, they naturally go to the negative and they naturally see how hard it's going to be. And they naturally, just put on it. They look at life through a lens that I would never prefer or never choose for myself. And it's a choice.
Yeah.
What lens you put on and the lens of gratitude, is a game changer. When you count those blessings every morning, I know that all the cards are stacked against me. Yes, I know that this is going to be difficult. Yes, I know I'm a female trying to make it in country music and entertainment. I know that the deck is stacked against me. But if I chose to look at it through that lens every day, oh my gosh, you know, I'm going to be stuck and I'm going to be paralyzed. But if I look at choose a different lens, choose positivity, choose your attitude and happiness, it's a choice.
I love it.
And patience was the other one.
Patience,
especially in this industry where there is no glass ceiling. And even if you're in an industry where there is a glass ceiling, the patience, you know, you're not going to have, there is no overnight success.
I think I heard Gary Vee the other day on that video say, wait 5 years, do the same thing for 5 more years or something like that.
You're 25. You're 25.
Yep.
Or something like
that. Yeah, to that girl.
Yeah.
I love it. And it's patience. And it's what a lot of, the men on my team now that have a lot of years of experience on me, like, Ad, you got this. Just be patient.
Right.
Like, be patient, trust your team, and stay consistent. Stay consistent, stay consistent, and stay in the game. And you're going to be okay.
Awesome.
But continue to work your butt off.
Yeah.
You know, don't let up on that. Don't be patient and sit back and ask for anybody to do anything for you.
Right.
Go get it, but be patient with how long.
The results, for sure.
Yeah.
All right, finish a statement. You ready?
Oh, God.
Donald, if you really knew me, and I feel like I really know you.
I know. Definitely getting there.
But if you really knew me, you would know.
There's so many things. I was saying I hate the pants that I'm wearing right now. If you really knew me, you'd be like, God, Adley, get it together. Probably that my motivation is, like most people's, it is out of fear. But the reason that I'm here and the reason why I'm continuing to do this and is, I remember, so it was after The Voice, and I was at the gym, and I was laying on the abs mat, and I was praying, and I was like, God, you really picked the wrong girl. Like, I was a marketing major. I wanted to go work for a nonprofit and just speak and encourage and inspire people. And I did not expect this. I've never taken a vocal lesson. I don't know what I'm doing. And now I'm on the number one show in America, which it was that year. And I have a singing contract in Nashville. And I just don't feel like I have the tools for this. And I felt like this overwhelming wave. It was like God slapped me upside the head. And he goes, Ad, I just gave you a stage and a microphone and a voice and a talent out of nowhere. What do you think you're supposed to do with it?
Yeah.
Go speak, go encourage, go inspire people. It's not just about the songs, but that is your vessel. That's the vessel that I've given you to do something. I just gave you a much bigger platform than you were going to give yourself in a cubicle somewhere working for a nonprofit. And so that, that motivation, and I promised them, I said, okay, I'm going to earn everything else. And if I get where I'm going, it's never going to be because I didn't work hard enough or I didn't use every gift I felt like you gave me along the way. And so that's my motivator. Those are my reminders on my phone. That's everything to just keep you focused. And on days that it's really, really, really hard, you have to remember why you're doing it. And then when it becomes so ingrained in you, I think you just kind of naturally live out of that. And ultimately it is for other people.
And I love that's, it. And you, if you also really knew her, you would know that she has ducks.
I do have new duckies. We have Dr. Dre. They're official names. Dr. Dre and Uncle Quacker.
Oh my gosh. I want to just sit here and name
Sorry,
duck
I should
names.
Have just given you like the easy answer. That is,
no,
that is
that's
that.
Two amazing things.
But people who don't really know me know that I have ducks. My chickens have more followers than I do.
Oh my gosh.
Chick Norris, Bruce Henner, Ellen DeHeneres, Little Jimmy Chickens. All those guys.
Wow. All those guys.
All those guys.
They're coming over later.
Yeah.
Hanging out.
We're going to have some corn. We'll have some beers. It'll be great.
Well, hey, set up. Situation has it where we have no musical instruments for you to play live. So two things. Tell us about a song. The beauty of Nashville is everybody has a demo they can email me. So we're going to throw that in there. Nobody's far away from that button. So we're going to throw that. But tell us about this song, how you wrote it.
So this song is one that I was excited to bring here because I don't know that it's going to make a record. Our next EP, I don't know that it's ever going to be a hit single, but it's something that every time I play live really resonates with people.
Yeah.
It's called Don't Mean Anything. And I went into the writing room and I was just talking about one of my friends who she was cheated on. And the guy was like, oh, it didn't mean anything. I'm so sorry. It didn't mean anything. Didn't mean anything. And she was like, I can't understand that. Like, how does it not mean anything? Like, so they were on a break and she went and she did it too and came back and told him about it. And it, you know, those images, like, it tore his heart apart. And she just looked at him and she goes, you tell me that it doesn't mean anything. It does. You're hurting right now. It does have an impact. And so we ended up writing this song and I really, really like it.
Wow. Well, we will play it up and real quick, just had this idea. I don't know if you will or not, someone put you on the spot. Can you said you sang like at least a verse of the acapella you did on The Voice. You said you did acapella. I'm just wondering.
If I can sing Don't Mean Anything?
No.
The Christina?
Yeah.
I don't even remember it. I'm going to be really honest. That was like 5 years ago.
Well, I thought it was like an acapella song that you always sang acapella. So I'm like, well, that would be good just to say, and then we'll play the demo. But
no, I learned it on the way, on the drive. So it's now not the same thing ingrained in me.
Now you're just showing off. You're like, I didn't even really know the song. I learned like it on the way to the show five. And then I won the show.
It was like five lines of this Christina song. All right. I think it was just a vocal rift.
Well, I'll leave you. I'll just say, I'm recording my non-legal counsel over there, that you'll come back at some point.
I hope so.
Do it again.
I'll bring Dr. Dre.
Oh, perfect.
And Uncle Quacker.
Binding
contract.
Binding contract.
Well, I feel like most people know how to follow you or find you, but tell us social media. What is all that
stuff? Yeah, basically everything's at Adley, A-D-L-E-Y, stump, like a tree. My Snapchat, though, is Adley116. Because I made that when I first was learning about Snapchat. Now I can't really go back and change it.
Yeah.
So it's Adley116.
Do you think any videos you took of me are probably like viral worthy?
I mean, probably. Like, look at that
general,
face.
General, you know, just...
Yeah.
Just, I don't know if I.
I don't know if
you.
It will get you 87 million, whatever that mm-hmm. was. But
oh, that wasn't.
We haven't done it on this show.
No,
yet,
we haven't.
So I,
they don't know. Right. If this is your first time tuning in,
yeah. Oh, God.
You will see Donald's face on Sam Hunt's Breakup in a Small Town.
Why?
You'll
why
see
is
the
this
side of his face because the other side is making out with a girl.
That's true.
The other side, yeah, well, half
the,
his
the
lips.
The front of it. Yeah. Just the side face. He's got the profile. You'll see his profile.
Listen, I've watched it 80 million times, so it has 86 constant million loop. Views. It's,
that's where they all came from.
80 million or me. So. All right. Well, hey, I'm going to play the song, but thanks so much for coming in. We're going to see you again, right?
Yes, baby.
Awesome. Thanks, girl.
And you holding her didn't mean anything. Yeah, leaving the bar in her car, it didn't mean anything. So when I tell you tomorrow what I did tonight, yeah, you'll know that I know you're right, that he's just
has been HIT's Collecting Dust. Please support this podcast and the artists featured by going to iTunes, subscribing, and leaving us a review.